it's gone inexplicably. I guess, unless there's some sort of a suspension, he'll be back on Monday. Dan with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive, Dolphin at I-65, and Louie's with us on the phone right now. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm all by myself here. Well, Leanna's here. I got my friends.
Leanna's helping you out a little bit.
Yeah, the Blowhouse Brass Band. They're going to be here in a little bit. We're going to talk to Jerry Silverstein with the Lending Tree Bowl here in a moment.
But with Louie, the Lending Tree Bowl.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about what's happening at McConnell Automotive this weekend.
Well, speaking of the Lending Tree Bowl, we've got a few tickets left, and we've got some tickets at the dealership. You can go by there, tell Gene you heard us on the radio, and you might have to pick up a couple. So that'll be a fun time tomorrow. I think a lot of people are going to go to it. But yeah, we're going to be at the dealership, try to sell a few cars. Got some great deals on some GM-certified stuff. We got an AT4. I know Dalton likes that. I drove it yesterday. It's got it's a half-ton AT4 diesel. Got that new diesel in it, and it's a nice truck. It's going to be certified. It's going to give you an extra 12 on the warranty. Plus, it bumps that powertrain up to 100,000 miles. So we're going to be there tomorrow. The service department's going to be open for a little light repair and do some oil change. You can give them a call if you need your oil change. And set up an appointment. They'll get you right on in on Saturday. And come on by and see us. Looks like it's going to be a great day. And we're going to have fun.
McConnell Automotive is at Dolphin and I-65, of course, right there. You can't miss it. And also, they can peruse what you got online as well, right?
That's right, at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call Gene, 251-476-4141.
Sounds good, my man. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, McConnell Automotive, Dolphin and I-65, and good to have him on this morning. Also good to talk to this gentleman who I've known for a lot of years. Jerry Silverstein is the president of the Lending Tree Bowl. We want to talk about the bowl game. We want to talk about the events tonight that are happening downtown Mobile. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning.
Boy, many, many years with the bowl. Let's go back in history with this thing. I guess you've been with it from the very beginning, correct?
Yes, since 1999.
Wow.
Yes.
At that time, it was what? It was the Mobile Alabama Bowl?
Correct. That
okay.
was the original name.
So let's talk about people will ask me this, and I don't really have the answer. How did this bowl begin? What was the goal? How did it all start?
Well, it all started with a group of people, myself and Mike Gottfried included. It was started on the basis of trying to promote the city, advertise for the city, get tourism here, let people know what's going on in Mobile, Alabama, where the football in the South is so important. We have another great game here, the Senior Bowl, and it was other cities had more than one bowl game, and the Mayor Dow at the time asked us to look into it and see if we could figure out how to put a bowl game here and put us on the map.
What was next? What did you learn about running a bowl game that you had to learn that you didn't know? Probably everything, right?
Oh, absolutely everything. Fortunately, we were good friends with George Perlis, who at the time was Michigan State's head coach, and they had a bowl game in Detroit. And he kind of showed us the ropes and showed us how to put it together. And at that time, we had Mike Slive, who was the ex-commissioner of the SEC. At that time, he was commissioner of Conference USA. So we used to travel between Mobile and Chicago, putting it together with him, and we put it together with at the time it was the Western Athletic Conference, the WAC. It has a big background in history.
So I remember that. A lot of people would not remember that Mike Slive, who did such an amazing job with the Southeastern Conference, right? We can agree on that, right? He was his leadership in the SEC was almost the turning point for the league.
100%.
Yeah, so he was at that time was the commissioner of the Western Athletic Conference?
No, Conference USA.
Conference USA, but the tie-in was with the WAC as well, correct?
Correct. That was Carl Benson was the commissioner at that time.
Right, right. And so some of the I remember this very well. The coach that was at Alabama for a cup of coffee, Coach Mike Price, right? We all know
correct.
His downfall. There was a year or two after that he actually returned to the city of Mobile as a head coach of UTEP. Do you remember that? Can you remember anything about that?
Yes, absolutely. He did. He did return here. That's where he landed after Alabama. And we had another Alabama coach here that didn't stay too long in Tuscaloosa, and that was Dennis Franchione.
That's right,
coaching TCU at the time, and he became a head coach at Alabama. We've had just a ton of coaches come through here, whether it's Urban Meyer, whether it's Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, just you know, on and on and on. The list of coaches that have come through the Mid-American Conference and Conference USA and the Mid-America itself, and to go on to larger jobs and be very, very successful.
Yeah, we have. We've also, I think I remember as well that we have launched coaches into their new jobs. They had such a good season at where they were. For instance, Urban Meyer at Bowling Green then went on to Utah. Like, I remember Brian Kelly came down for one press conference. When it was time for the second press conference, he was already gone to Cincinnati, I think, from one of the Michigan schools. Am I right about that?
That's correct. He was at Central Michigan before he went to Cincinnati.
So
Cincinnati to Notre Dame.
Yeah, so they have a good year where they're at, and they go on a more prosperous and prestigious jobs as well. And just some of the players who have come through that you remember, Jerry. I remember, for instance, I'll give you one, and I don't know if this was the first bowl game of its type, but I would be on the field for the awards afterwards. And we had Southern Miss against TCU. Now, Jeff Kelly, the now coach at Saraland, longtime coach at Saraland, actually was the quarterback of Southern Miss. Do you remember the game?
Absolutely. It was the coldest night we've ever had. Yes, I do remember that game. And if I remember correctly, Southern Miss came back and Jeff Kelly threw a touchdown pass with just a few seconds to go in the game to upset TCU.
That's exactly what happened. And here's what all else happened. This is a little behind the scenes here. So we're setting up to get they were going to throw it down to me, and I had a wireless mic down on the field, and I was going to present the winners of the offensive player of the year, or offensive player of the game, MVP, whatever it was. Well, the offensive player of the game was LaDainian Tomlinson, whose team had just lost. I don't know if you remember that scene at midfield, Jerry.
I do remember it. It was very odd for that to happen. We've had a couple of odd things. That was definitely one of them.
He wasn't happy receiving the award, and I think we were all kind of in his space. He was very disappointed that they lost the game, and he was of ill temperament.
He was, and rightfully so, losing the game like that, and I think that was his last game before he went on to the NFL to be drafted, and it's not a fun time. I mean, fortunately, with bowl games, there's now, at the time we started, there were 23 bowl games in 1999. Today, there are 43 bowl games.
Wow.
And, you know, that's how much the popularity of them have gone, and with the rules changing and the records being a 6-6 record qualifies you for a bowl game. And schools and universities love it because of the extra practice time that they get. It's unlimited by the NCAA. The kids are out of school. Coaches love it. Put a lot of things in. So bowls are very popular.
Speaking of records, Jerry, there was a. Now we know him as the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But in college, Byron Leftwich was a All-American type quarterback at Marshall University. They played East Carolina. That was one of the most confounding games I've ever seen. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do. Again, that game at halftime, East Carolina was winning 38-8. And I think that's when the coach of Marshall just told the guys, if they don't win this game, they're going to have to walk home. I think it was Coach Logan from East Carolina. They came out of the locker room and they had the ball first. Instead of running the ball, he threw the ball. The first play was an interception, and Marshall, you know, ran it back, ended up scoring on it, and ended up going into double overtime, and it was 64-61, so 125 points, which today is still the highest scoring bowl game in bowl game history.
Wow.
So we do have a record out there.
So let's talk a little bit about what we have present day. We've got the game is tomorrow, but I am looking forward to maybe a shower or two out there, but nothing too big that we can avoid and enjoy a nice night downtown. What are the plans this evening, Jerry?
Well, at 6:30 kicks off our Mardi Gras parade downtown. It's an abbreviated route that goes from government. Church Street, I think the government, down to Royal, down by Bienville Square, and comes back around back to government and to the auditorium situation. And after that, there's a pep rally from both schools that are on Dolphin Street. I don't remember the street names, but near Winslow's, and that part of Dolphin Street, which will be closed. We'll have the bands from both universities out there doing their pep rallies and their cheerleaders and a good time. And in Cathedral Square, there's food trucks and entertainment and games for the kids, and going to be a lot of fun out there.
That's going to be a lot of fun. On the text line, we do have the people are recalling these bowls. That question came in, but a little bit late. Dan, do you remember the game in Mobile when Byron Leftwich was the quarterback and was losing by a ton, came back in the second half? You were just to talk about that. That was probably around 2001, 2002, something like that, Jerry?
Yeah, correct. It was right in that area, and yes, that was the highest scoring bowl game ever that we were just speaking about.
So
61 double overtime.
And what last thing up here? I've always really enjoyed meeting the fans from the schools that would come down, especially those that would come down from the Mid-American Conference. The one thing that Mobile should always be proud of this, but the one thing that they always talk about, it's not about the weather, it's not about anything really. They talk about the citizens of Mobile and how welcome they are, how welcome they feel coming to Mobile. I guess that's probably going to be the same case this year, huh?
Well, yeah, so far. There are fans that are already in town. Downtown, the causeway was just packed last night and yesterday in the restaurants. Getting a lot of calls saying I'm interrupting some people's lunch because I can't get in and out. It's crowded, so crowded. But, yes, Mobile is very hospitable. And very welcoming to these people. Mobile loves the attention that comes with it. The fans love it. They just love the Southern hospitality, and it could not be any better, the situation we have here.
No, I agree with you. And seriously, as Mobilians, y'all should be proud because time and time again, what they talk about is, it's like, what do you like about Mobile? And they say, we really like the people. And I don't think we could get a higher compliment than that. I know you got a busy 24, 48 hours here, Jerry. Have a good time. Get your work done. And let's have a great game tomorrow.
Thank you, Dan. And thank you for all your help and support that you give us, especially through the years.
Thank you, man.
Hope to see you soon.
All right. Thank you.